Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Come, my weary wandering one, lay down your head and rest. You only need.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. In 2021, the blues singer and guitarist Buffalo Nichols released his self-titled debut LP. It was a brilliant example of how timeless the blues can be, both musically and emotionally. His second album has just come out. It's called The Fatalist. And once again, Nichols uses contemporary 21st century sounds and techniques to remind us that the blues are always with us. He's here today to play some of those songs in a slightly different arrangement, as you will now hear. This one's called Turn Another Stone.
See the green grass overgrown, empty houses where the junkies make a home, and the children who must learn to live alone. They say I will leave this town when I am grown. Atlanta only seemed to cause me pain. New Orleans, where I first tried crack cocaine. With my tail between my legs, I caught a train to bring me to Midwest once again. Turn another stone. Never wanted this to be my home. Not a pleasant place to live or occupy, but it just might be the perfect place to die. But I nearly starved to death. I couldn't make it in LA, I tried my best. I had to come home for a while to catch my breath. Come to find I don't have very many left. Turn another stone. Never wanted this to be my home. Not a pleasant place to live or occupy, but it just might be the perfect place to die. Now that I've returned to the place I once maligned, familiar faces bring me peace of mind. And this place I tried so hard to leave behind is the place from which I choose to say goodbye. Turn another stone. I'd give up every place I've ever known for the comfort of the sweetness in your eyes. I see before I die.
Turn Another Stone is the name of the song from the new album The Fatalist by Buffalo Nichols, singing and playing the guitar with Selene Santame playing the upright bass and Spencer Tate playing the fiddle. Buffalo, it's great to have you here in person.
Yeah.
We did one of these remotely when the first record came out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, as I said in introducing you, a rather different sound from what we get on the record. This is almost, I'm getting like old-timey bluegrass string band kind of. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, well, it's different musicians, so they've brought a different energy to it, for sure. I'll give you that.
Were you actually thinking about some of these older other styles of music?
Yeah, I'm pretty influenced by everything. Although I'm considered a blues guitarist for some reason, it's not really the thing that I focus on, and I never have. So definitely electronic music, hip hop, you know, old time music, bluegrass, and the blues too. But for me, the blues is not really a guitar music; it's like a vocal thing. So, but it's all there in my mind when I'm writing songs, and it was more about choosing the right ones for this record.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of those old the guys that we call bluesmen, they played all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's just commercial reasons. Even back then in the late 20s and 30s, was like, well, you know, do this stuff.
Right.
The last time we spoke, you were remote from Austin, Texas.
That's right.
Are you back now in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I was in Austin almost 3 years, and I've been in Milwaukee for about a year or so now.
Right. Yeah. So is that what that song, Turn Another Stone, is about? You going home?
Yeah, I spent most of my adult life leaving home and then coming back. So it's one of those, like, one of those songs.
Yeah. There's something that we talked a little bit about back in 21 that I wanted to follow up on. You said you wanted more black people to hear themselves in this music.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a couple of years. Have you seen any kind of movement in that direction?
Yes. Well, the only reason I said that was because I really didn't want to make a blues record, and I was able to justify it and kind of make it okay for myself by saying I'm contributing to the greater culture. You know, people will be able to look back and see me next to the others.
Hmm.
So,
sorry, but when you say the others, do you mean like Blind Willie Johnson others?
I'm talking about white people.
Oh, so you're talking about like Eric Clapton? And,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're the others. Blind Willie Johnson is the standard, and
okay,
Eric Clapton
good.
Is the others.
I just wanted to make sure we were defining our terms.
Yeah, it's
here.
Good to be clear. Yeah, so all I really wanted to do was just contribute to that, to the blues canon in a way that reflects black people in a positive way, and making the record was really all I could do for that. But I think there's always kind of quiet conversations about the representation in the genre, and it's still continuing. It's fluctuating like it always is, but still, still work to be done.
So when you've been touring a lot
this
year, and when you look out from the stage, who are you seeing?
Nobody most of the time.
Oh, come on.
But sometimes I get a pretty good diverse crowd, and sometimes not.
Yeah.
But, that's kind of the nature of live music.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of some of, the great old, like Blind Willie Johnson, the record includes your version of one of his most covered songs. You're going to need somebody on your bond.
You're going to need somebody on your bond. You're going to need somebody on your bond. When it's late in the midnight and death comes sneaking in your room, you're going to need somebody.
Drum machine, there's samples and things like that, and yet somehow it feels so deeply rooted. How did you do that?
Oh, I didn't know I did that. Thank you. it was really kind of simple, actually, because I've used samplers and drum machines almost as long as I've played guitar, and it's just kind of second nature. When I'm writing songs, usually I'm sitting with my guitar and a drum machine. So for a long time, I thought that was just like a rough draft version. And I had to like update it and make it sound more organic or whatever. It's air quotes I'm doing. So this time I just let myself do what I always did, and it just felt pretty easy. And once I did that, that's when the album started to come together around that song, because it just felt like, in my mind, it just made sense.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the samples, is that Charlie Patton?
Yeah, it's Charlie Patton doing... essentially the same song. I think when he does it, it's "You're gonna need somebody when you come to die."
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yeah.
It just it's manipulated it a little bit, but it just fit so well. I didn't have to sit and move stuff around. It just somehow made sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And what it sort of drives home is not just the universality of the blues, but a lot of the things that those guys were singing about, almost 100 years ago now, are the things that you're still singing about. They're the things we're still living. I mean, oppression, drugs, sex, death. I mean, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So when you say for you the blues isn't guitar music, it's something, it's a style of singing, it's also just a feeling, right? I mean, it's life.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a way of looking at life and processing the reality of life, and those kind of fundamental things that keep us feeling down in America have not changed, so the way of expressing it kind of comes from the same place.
Yeah. The Fatalist is the name of the new record from Buffalo Nichols. You're going to switch instruments for this next song to the banjo. This one's called The Long Journey Home. And once again, with the bass and the fiddle, a little bit of the sound of, there is a great black string band tradition, which, was largely unexplored until the Carolina Chocolate Drops came along and reminded us of that.
Yeah. So, and look at us here, doing it again.
Here you are. Let's hear a live performance of The Long Journey Home.
That's right. One, two, three.
Lonely pads of useless hurt. Purple stone horizon. A desperate flower dying of thirst. And I am close behind him. I took the long journey home from iridescent to monochrome. My lungs with water now. Sink me into silence. Raise your head above the clouds, or bury it in violence. I took the long journey home from iridescent. Monochrome, I learned no lessons. I'm no more wise. We live to suffer and know not why. Prophecy told him he was chosen, and now for all the world to see, he his rotten corpse upon a bed of withered roses. I took the long journey home from iridescent to monochrome. I learned no lessons, I'm no more wise. We live to suffer, no, not why.
Long Journey Home, live performance of that song by Buffalo Nichols, which you'll find on his latest album called The Fatalist. And like the first song, Buffalo, that you did for us, Turn Another Stone, there's a sense of homecoming in Long Journey Home, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's a darker, it's a much darker flavored homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole history of American folk songs and blues and proto-gospel songs where the journey home is a metaphor for death.
Yeah, that's
is that right. were you kind of consciously drawing on that?
Yeah, you know, there's some religious themes in there and metaphor for death and as it relates to fate.
Mm-hmm.
But also the perception of destiny, you know, and how it can often be a misconception, or you know, your own ego telling you should be doing something, and you believe in it, and then the result is unfortunate.
When you're not able to live up to your own ego's expectations, or
when your ego tells you that you're destined for some kind of greatness or something in general, and then you find out the hard way that you probably should have stayed home.
Well, I mean, the album begins with, it actually, before we hear a note of music, we hear a thunderstorm.
That's right.
And that leads us into Cold Black Stare with, you know, the line about basically the man taking everything and leaving you with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The man in the shadows with the cold black stare. He's taking all the warmth and leaving nothing for you. Taking all the warmth and leaving nothing for you.
So, you know, if there is a destiny, there are these kind of shadowy figures who are kind of pulling the strings, and so destiny becomes like a very, almost like a mirage.
Yeah, when I was kind of realizing the themes of the songs, I was having a lot of conversations about capitalism. And it was starting to feel like it was this unbeatable force, greater than anything. And even the way that we worship and are obsessed with money, it's like greater and more powerful than God in America and in most of the world. And that's just really couldn't escape the idea that whatever your fate is or whatever your goals are and however determined you are, you just can't compete with billionaires. They kind of are controlling, are pulling the strings. And then I started to feel like this is the essence of blues and folk music.
Mm.
It's inherently anti-capitalist, but I think a lot of the consumers of it have missed that.
Yeah. Part. It's funny because as soon as you said anti-capitalist, I immediately thought populist, but that word, of course, now means something very different.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know what you, I mean, you know, Woody Guthrie would have considered himself a populist.
Yeah.
You know, singer, songwriter, literally being of the people. So the fatalist, is that, you know, it sounds like maybe you were pretty far down the road to making this record, and then would that have seemed like the right title?
Yeah, it really wasn't until I wrote The Fatalist Blues. That was the last song I wrote for the record, and it put everything in perspective, and that the title came at the end.
Yeah. So it's interesting to listen to the record, to the songs in sequence,
mm-hmm.
you know, which I don't know how many people do that these days.
Yeah.
Everything's online. But if you start with, you know, Cold Black Stare, and, you know, opening a record with a thunderstorm is already sort of setting you in an emotional place.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your arrangement of the Blind Willie Johnson song, which is about death.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you finally get a little shaft of light,
yeah,
you know,
just a little
with the song Love Is All. So how closely were you thinking of the kind of emotional sequencing of these songs?
That was the second consideration. The first one was trying to carry over from the first album, which was, I guess, traditional as people perceived it, and just kind of slowly introducing people into the more modern sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then emotionally, I was thinking of this kind of art because it starts out pretty dark, and then it gets a little bit, you might think it's going to make a positive turn, but then it very quickly comes back. But the ending, this moment,
yeah,
is kind of where I brought it all together, because it's like, to me, that the song is saying, you know, things are only going to get worse, so just enjoy it now.
Be present, yeah. Yeah.
Father, say goodbye to your girls. The road now leads to another world. And those who make it back alive, you almost will not recognize. So let this moment be all that you remember.
And that is the only track on the record in which you are not the only voice, you're not a sole voice, you know, singing by himself.
That's right.
The last time we spoke, you described yourself as a music nerd.
Mm-hmm.
You played West African music before coming to, or as you were coming to the blues, right? There's some kind of connection there for you.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, as a music nerd, who are the West African guitarists? Who are your heroes?
Ali Farka Touré, of course.
Of course.
And then in his circle, like Afel Bokum.
Right.
And I really liked Jelimari Tunkara,
mm-hmm,
from Mali. Those were kind of the big three for me.
Okay.
And then my guitar playing was always influenced and informed by Kora players and Ngoni players. So,
right.
And the ones that I knew in Milwaukee, you know. So some local flavor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Ali Farka Touré, you know, his tradition now carried on by his son, Via Farka Touré. You know, you can hear where the blues came from in that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It takes an imaginative step to go from Ngoni playing to electric guitar, Chicago blues. Mm-hmm. But when you hear Ali Farka Touré pick up an electric guitar, it's just like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
It's just like right there in front of you.
Yeah, and it definitely went both ways. You know, I'm pretty sure he was influenced by some American records.
Absolutely.
But you definitely hear that common root, for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, that African root of so much of American music, you know, that seems to have been another part of what brought you to this project to begin with.
Yeah, I played African music on the banjo when I started playing banjo. I was playing with Kora players.
Uh-huh.
And it never interested me really to play old-time music or anything. It's something I kind of started doing recently.
Oh.
Yeah, we owe so much to African music. And even now, African music is so inspired by American music, especially with, you know, Afrobeats becoming the global power that's really, I mean, it's its own thing, but it is sort of an extension of, like, the hip-hop sound.
Sure. Just as Afrobeat, singular,
uh-huh,
was an extension of James Brown funk,
yeah, exactly,
you know, by Fela Kuti, etc.
Yeah. So I wanted to be a part of that diaspora conversation.
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing how easily, I mean, how fraught the human passage across the Atlantic was, but the musical passage has just been back and forth, you know.
It's, that's right.
All right, so we've dismissed Selene and Spencer for the moment. You're going to play this next one solo.
That's right.
Where does the difference fit in? You were talking about that kind of arc of the record. How does this song fit in?
This one's a little bit of an outlier. It does, I think it relates in some ways, but really the reason for including this song was I was just really... I try so hard to get people to stop calling me a blues singer and a blues guitarist. I did everything I could.
Yeah, but then you made all these great blues songs. Come on, give me a break.
It's understandable, you know, I kind of confuse people. So I just was like, I need to really like try harder. In fact, this song is this album is mostly not blues, but it hasn't really helped. People are they're stuck, but I'm gonna keep trying. So I just wanted to put like a song that was undeniably not the blues, just to see how people would receive it. But now they just say I have a different kind of blues.
All right, let's hear Buffalo Nichols solo and a live performance of The Difference.
When it came time to write your story, I was barely mentioned. Just a minor role, a place you'd go when you needed attention. But if I'm just a rest stop for your soul, I'll let it be. Cause I just don't know the difference between love and company. And the sun don't always shine on me, but I know that it's there. And it don't care if we live or die, but the light is ours to share. And now both of us are bleeding, and the pain is mine. Speak or ask you to be fair. When it comes time to write my story, you'll get your own chapter. I'll tell the tale of how I fell and landed in disaster. And you can be the hero who comes to rescue me. Difference between love and sympathy, and the sun don't always shine on me, but I know that it's there, and it don't care if we live or die, but the light is ours to share, and now both of us are bleeding, and the pain is mine. Ask you to be fair, and I never complained, but it didn't mean I was incapable of feeling pain, and I stayed in my place. I knew you were no good, but you'd be so hard to replace. Well, it must be time to end this story, for you have sprouted wings. I'll go back to my solitude, you'll go find better things. But if you should grow tired on the road that lies ahead, I hope you won't forget the one who kept your ego fed. The sun don't always shine on me, but I know that it's there, and it don't care if we live or die, but the light is ours to share, and now both of us are bleeding, and the pain is mine to bear. And we're both weak, but I at least am somewhat self-aware.
Buffalo Nichols live in the studio with The Difference, a track from his latest album called The Fatalist. And with your fingers so high up on the fretboard there, it almost had a kind of Kora sound. You were talking before about, you know, listening to Kora music from West Africa.
Yeah.
Was that intentional? Is that part of the sound you were going for?
Not intentional, but it is something that I used to do a lot, is get that kind of high. I can't even reach it, but yeah. I used to do that a lot, so I think it just was like second nature.
Yeah. There's a South African guitarist named Derek Gripper. Okay. Have you ever heard of him?
No, that's a new name for me.
He plays a six-string classical, you know, nylon string guitar, and he plays all of like Tumani Djabati's music, all that great Kora music on a six. It's like I don't know how the hell he does it. It's like a magic trick.
Oh, wow.
The Difference is the name of that song. The Fatalist is the new record. And to quote your social media, Buffalo, it looks like I've earned myself another 12 to 18 months of marginal relevance in the weirdo corner of Americana music.
That's right.
Congratulations on marginal relevance.
What more could I hope for?
Well, you know, relevance of any kind is super important these days.
Yeah, I don't take it for granted.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I know it's been a hectic tour, and I appreciate you stopping by and playing for us today and bringing the trio.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me and us. These are both great musicians and solo artists in their own right. So,
Céline Saint-Aimé played the bass and Spencer Tate played the fiddle. And behind the plexiglass, it was Irene Trudell, our technical director. Laura Boyman produced this session. I'm John Schaefer. You can keep up with everything we're doing on New Sounds by subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. Text New Sounds to 70101 or sign up on the website at newsounds.org.
Well, since I could remember, I've been wondering no more. Looking lost and lonesome since I left my mother's home. Looking lost and lonesome since I left my mother's home.